This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Rick Pinder knows a thing or two about finding entertainment in Cincinnati for 25 years. He's been the theater critic at City Beat, but he's also an author. And he just updated his latest book, 100 Things to Do in Cincinnati Before You Die. It's got a second edition. Rick joined me in the studio earlier to talk about it. Rick Pinder is the author of 100 Things to Do in Cincinnati Before You Die. The second edition is out. Rick is also a contributing editor and theater critic at Cincinnati City Beat. Rick, thanks for coming in.
I'm glad to be here, Michael.
So this is the second edition of this book that you've put out.
That's
that
right.
Means it has some new things, some updated things.
Yes. The first one came out about 3 years ago. And believe it or not, in 3 years' time, some things have changed. and so the publisher came to me and said, the book sold pretty well. How about doing a second edition? Now, that didn't mean a whole new set of stuff, but to refresh things that were either gone altogether or just needed to be updated. So I'd say about a third of the material in the book is new from what we did in 2016.
This is a good mix of things that anybody worth their salt in Cincinnati or Northern Kentucky would recommend people do, but it also has some off-the-beaten-path things. I'm wondering if, as someone who's lived in Cincinnati as long as you have now, even though you're not from here, but
right.
you have lived here a pretty long time.
Yeah, 40 years now.
Was there anything that surprised you that maybe you didn't know about before you dove into this book?
I would have to go back 3 years to talk about it because that's sort of when I created the original list. And I created a list of actually about 200 things that I thought would be worthy of consideration and then whittled that list down. I went back to that list to when I needed to fill in some more new things. But there were things that I wasn't terribly familiar with. For instance, I like to talk about the American Sign Museum. I mean, I knew about it. It used to be at the Essex Studios, and, you know, it was kind of a funky place. It was more like a kind of junky warehouse full of old signs there. But this new facility that they are in now in Camp Washington is quite a wonderful place. And so I guess when I went to check it out, I thought, oh, that's a surprise that really is a place that people can go and have a great time and enjoy themselves and even have an event there if they want to.
So you have tested all of these things. You have experienced
these?
Pretty much.
One way or another. If I didn't literally go out and test them, they were things that I had experienced somehow. I haven't been to Kings Island in a while, for instance, but Kings Island is one of what I call the usual suspects. If you live here, you ought to do it at some point. And it's been a while since I had younger people in my life who wanted to go and ride roller coasters and things like that. So I haven't been there in a while, but it's certainly an attraction that people might want to check off their bucket list.
So who's this book for? Because you and I have lived here a long time, and certainly we know people who are just popping in for a visit. Does this apply to all of us?
I think so. I say that a portion of the book are what I call usual suspects, just the things that, you know, everybody probably has already tried some kind of Cincinnati chili. They've had Grater's ice cream, probably some UDF, you know, so they have opinions on those kinds of things. But this is a way to sort of go through and say, if you want to call yourself a Cincinnati and here are things that you really ought to be doing, but there's a whole nother audience there. It might be people newly to town or just coming for a visit who would look at this and say, oh, you know, here's five things I could do while I'm here. I have some friends who are people who are old enough to have adult children who they would love to entice back to Cincinnati. And I said, well, get one of these books and send it to them, and maybe they'll think, oh, maybe I'm missing out on something here. And the other audience, I guess, that I would say is that people who have a guest room and have a lot of people in and out of their house on a regular basis or who operate B&Bs, put this copy of this there so that people have a list of, you know, a ready-made list of things that they can pursue.
So of some of those usual suspect items that are featured in this book, were there any that surprised you as it relates to those of us who are locals, who maybe we hadn't partaken in these things either frequently or ever?
Yeah. Well, there are some, I guess. I mean, one section of the book deals with food and drink, and I put a number of restaurants in there that are probably on the expensive end of the spectrum and that people might not have experienced. But if they're going to be here, you know, they might want to do that. I have a friend. She calls me up once a year. Her husband passed away. She likes to do something with their children. And she always calls me up and say, tell me a really nice restaurant where we can go for the holidays. And I've recommended the Netherland, you know, that the restaurant there, Orchids, is a fabulous place. I mean, it's, you'll pay a pretty penny for your meal there, but it's memorable. So it's things like that 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 are there that I wouldn't say they are out of the ordinary, but and they are, might not be things that people are going to do regularly, but they are things that you probably ought to do at least once.
Don't you wish you could still recommend the Maisonette?
I do.
Yeah.
I do. Now there are, you know, there are some, what would you call them? I guess descendants of that, because Jean Robert de Cavelle still has several of his restaurants here, and I know that Restaurant L is one that probably aspires to some of the cachet that the Maisonette had. But yeah, it would be nice to have that one here.
You know, as far as that topic, you know, areas that locals like you and me maybe haven't gotten to yet, the restaurant scene, the food scene, in the urban core in this region has really exploded recently. And it's like Netflix, you know, like, have you seen this show? Have you seen that show? And there's just too much. You can't catch up. I mean, that's how the food is around
here.
Well,
and I, because I've written this book and because I lived in Over the Rhine for quite a while, I would have people say to me, well, where should I go to eat? And I would always bounce right back with a question about, what do you like to eat? I mean, there are so many choices, and there are, and some of the things that are new to the book are restaurants that were not the first time around. For instance, in the first time around, I had Mazunte, which is a great Mexican restaurant that's out on the east side, out on Red Bank Road, out in that area. But they've now opened a place downtown called Mazunte Central, and another great place to go for Mexican, Tex-Mex kind of food.
Yeah, there's so much good stuff going on. This is a list of 100 things that you have to do before you die. It's sort of categorized by theme, food, art and culture, shopping and fashion, sports and recreation. I'm wondering if you had to condense this even more and talk to somebody about, I don't know, these are the three things. These are the three things you have to do. As an out-of-towner, what would you say?
Well, I did, as I said, I did start with a list of 200 and whacked it down to about 100. And then this time around, I had to do some replacement. But I really tried to, I would say that it's about 50-50 of things that you really, you might have already done if you've lived here for a long time and you were really out and about. But then there's plenty of other things. And I tried to include a few things that were more regional, like the Serpent Mound out to the east of the city, or going up to the Golden Lamb up in Lebanon, or to the Kentucky Horse Park down toward Lexington. Those are all things that are easy one-day trips for people who live in greater Cincinnati, and things that you really ought to consider.
You feature a few things on my side of the river, the Kentucky side of the river, and I'm wondering if you got a chance yourself to actually ring the World Peace Bell.
Not personally, no. I've been there many times, but I have not rung it myself.
It's a huge bell. It made quite a splash when it was brought here as part of the Millennium celebration. We were all obsessed with the word Millennium right around the turn of the year 2000, and this thing was arriving in Newport. But I don't want to give a spoiler because it's still worth going and checking out and hearing the power of its ring. But you know how they ring it. Like, you don't get some big stick or anything. Yeah. It's a remote control.
Oh, you just push a button.
You push a button. It's like the most anticlimactic. I got a chance to ring it myself once, and I was so excited because I pictured, you know, like, I don't know, medieval robes.
Swinging
and
a hammer.
I was ready to bang something.
Yeah.
And they're like, here, push this.
Yeah. No.
Very uneventful.
Yeah. Well, it is a big bell. One of the biggest in the world. I think it weighs 33 tons.
Yeah, it's a lovely sight. And they're actually going to be building next to it. Yes. So it's going to be even more attractive to visit that. Another thing that is from Kentucky that a lot of us on our side of the river have to send people to just to see is the two-headed calf. You did manage to include that.
Yes, at the Beringer Crawford Museum. That is one interesting place. I mean, it is a sort of a straight-ahead natural history museum, but there's a lot of interestingly funky things there, and that two-headed calf would be at the head of the list.
Certainly, both heads of the list.
Yeah, right.
You do, of course, naturally, as you must, include Cincinnati chili in this.
Of course.
You do list a few of them, a couple of the neighborhood parlors, as well as the bigger known chains, Skyline, Gold Star, and then the Kentucky staple, Dixie.
Yeah.
Did you try all of those?
I did. I cannot say that I did that.
Well, I'm wondering because you have lived here for 40 years, but a lot of times, even though people who have lived here that long, if you're not born here, there are certain things that you never get acclimated to, including our strange chili.
Yeah.
Are you a fan?
I am. When I first came here, I tried it and I thought, wow, this is very strange stuff. But then, I don't know, a couple weeks later, I tried it again and then again and again. And pretty soon, you know, like once a month or so, you really need a dose of it, I think.
All it takes is that first hangover and it cures it and suddenly you're loyal.
I have... attempted to try to distinguish some of the finer points between some of them. And I wouldn't hold out one over another. There are some ways that you can differentiate them. So I have done a little bit of that. I didn't write about that in the book. I really said to people, just, you know, check out if there's one in your neighborhood, like Camp Washington chili or Price Hill chili. Sure, check those out. And then, of course, you have to try the chains that are everywhere.
Yeah, I think to get into the weeds about the subtle differences about them all, it's just well above my pay grade. I don't think I understand how to do that.
I agree. And they all say it's a secret recipe. And I think they've slightly tweaked the spices on each secret recipe.
I think you're not wrong about that. Yeah. You're kind enough to include some seasonal specific activities. And since we are now in the dead of winter, I want to talk about some of your winter suggestions,
sure.
One of which is looking at the groceries available at jungle gyms. And I've been there. I'm very unsophisticated when it comes to the kitchen, so yeah. I'm utterly useless in a place like jungle gyms, but I could see the fascination. There are quite a lot of oddities available.
Yeah. Well, and they have got two locations, one up in Fairfield and one out at the Eastgate area. And honestly, you can find pretty authentic cuisine, food, vegetable and fruit choices and so on from all different parts of the world. And in fact, particularly the one in Fairfield is almost operated also as a theme park. In fact, they have a monorail that used to be at Kings Island, I believe, as part of it there. So it's an experience for the whole family to go there. It's all indoors, so it's something that you could do in the cold months.
That's a smart suggestion, I think. You also suggest maybe riding the streetcar and shopping the city. This thing, you've been downtown for a long time. So sort of before this wave of a renaissance has taken place, you've been down here in some capacity. What has the streetcar done to that experience, the taking in the sights and the retail experience?
Well, the stops that it makes, I mean, you can really sort of pick and choose. I've often thought, I do tours occasionally here based on some of the other things that I've done. And I tell people, you know, if you want to do a tour, let's do the streetcar. We can pick three stops and get off. Maybe you'll get off down by the baseball stadium and go to the Reds Hall of Fame. Or maybe you want to go to Findlay Market up at the north end of the streetcar route, or stop downtown near the Contemporary Arts Center. You can do all of those things and ride around without having to mess with parking or anything like that.
You also recommend watching the musical theater talent train for Broadway at CCM. How fortunate is this community to have that caliber of a program?
It certainly is. That program, I like to compare it to the elite collegiate sports teams. They audition somewhere between 800 and 1,000 kids for a freshman class of somewhere between 15 and 20. I mean, I suspect that is more competitive than anybody who's coming to try to play basketball or football or anything like that. And those people are there. You get to see them. The tickets are very affordable. And within a year or two of their graduation, they have become Broadway stars. It's definitely worth checking out.
You also ask about or suggest beating the odds at Hard Rock Casino. Are you a casino guy?
I am not. I've checked out the restaurants there.
What I love about it. Yeah, they have some really great food there.
That's right. I am not a gambler, but there's obviously a lot of people who turn up there, I say, to lose money 24/7.
Exactly. Everyone's a winner when you go for burgers.
That's right.
What about kids? What's something that you recommend, maybe a few items that would target families who have young people and maybe the locals who have
I have in here a list of family-friendly stuff. And some of them are like fun places to go to eat. I put down Sugar and Spice. It's a great little place with pancakes and that sort of thing, and the whole family can go there and have a good time. Or going to Crone Conservatory. It's like a little trip to the tropics, and kids can see all kinds. They can see cactus and jungle areas and things like that. I talk about going to the zoo and seeing Fiona at the zoo. Of course, that was one. I had the zoo in my previous edition, but Fiona hadn't arrived yet, so that one needed to be updated.
She's a brand all on her own now.
She sure is, and that's one that families love to go and enjoy, and there's so much there. This time of year with the Holiday of Lights going on, it's a fabulous place to visit. Of course, we've got Kings Island, which is a great place for families, but another one that I like to recommend is Pyramid Hill. Hill out in Fairfield. It's a great place to go for a family picnic, and there's all these beautiful outdoor sculptures. They also have a museum of classical art there. I don't know if the kids will be so interested in that, but to be able to drive around and look at all these interesting sculptures that are set out in woodland settings and things like that, it's really a fun thing to do.
So 100 Things to Do in Cincinnati Before You Die has a second edition out. The author is Rick Pender, and he has been our guest today talking about it. You can find that book wherever books are sold.
That's right.
Rick, thanks so much for coming in and talking to us.
Thanks for the conversation.
Rick Pender's new book, a second edition of 100 Things to Do in Cincinnati Before You Die, is now available wherever books are sold. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Elise Meckler. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. You can find archives of our program online at wvxu.org. I'm Michael Monks.